Thank you, Father, for another opportunity to hear from you, to experience your presence, Lord. Thank you that the words that we read from your scripture are more than just ink on a page or pixels on a screen. But it's eternal. Jesus, you say that they're life to us. I pray, Father, as we look into your word, we would experience life. We would experience you, that we would know you. And Lord, in our response to you and to your word and the life that's in it, Lord, we would grow. Lord, and the people around us would experience, as we experience, your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Say that's what your kingdom is. Pray we would experience your kingdom in our community, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. How about it? Getting in touch with my Irish roots, I discovered last year I'm 23% Irish. Who knew? How about it? I'm like 73% British. That's mind-blowing to me. Like somehow, Beasley, what is that? I don't even know. Always, what's that? O Beasley, I get it. I get it. Like O'Hennigan, O Beasley, I get it. O'Malley, I get it. There you go, O Beasley. Man, you got to watch it in this congregation. When you start having a conversation, people just jump right in, right? But good morning. My grandson said to me this week something about St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, St. Patrick's Day, he's 3 years old. I'm like, I said, what is St. Patrick's Day? He thought for a second and he said, it's when you eat cookies and things. And I thought, you know what, that's about right. It's when you eat cookies and things. So he'll learn more about corned beef and cabbage as the years go on. But there's a little more to it than that. In recent weeks, we've been having some life lessons from the life of Peter, actually. He had an interesting life. He was a fisherman by trade. He was an eyewitness. Imagine this, being an eyewitness follower of Christ. How would you like to walk with God incarnate in the flesh in that way? It's pretty incredible. God incarnate called him out onto the water, called him out of the boat. He calls us out of the boat, but it would be kind of cool to see Jesus out there on the water, right? Right? In the flesh, as Peter did. So he's an eyewitness to this. It's no wonder that in his letter, he's admonishing elders, admonishing younger ones and everyone. He's been through the program. He's been with Jesus for years. He's seen incredible things, experienced incredible things. You know, he's like us. His life had ups and downs. He experienced failures, right? He sank down in the water when he started looking at the things around him. But he walked on water. He had successes like we do when we fix our eyes on Christ. He was denying Christ, but he was proclaiming Christ, right? He had these ups and downs and these different cycles. But he was ultimately commissioned by Christ as the rock on whom he would build the church, as it were. And he helped the Apostle Paul found the church in Rome, from which he wrote this epistle we're going to read this morning, again from 1 Peter chapter 5. And as the past couple weeks we've seen, he exhorts elders as one elder to other elders at this point in his life. He exhorts the elders and says, care for the flock, not for yourself. Here's the way you should do it. You should do it voluntarily and sacrificially. You should prove to be examples to the flock. As elders, that's what we do. We take the hits. He says, prove to be examples. That word example means there are marks. There's an impression that's been made on you. You've had pressure put on you. You've been proven to be an example of how people should care for the flock. And then he spoke to the younger ones. We read last week Peter's exhortation to the naos, to the younger ones. Peter exhorts you, follow your leaders. Be subject to them. Listen to them. Listen to their admonitions. Because at some point, you have to help carry the burden with them. You might have to wait for them at times, but you must be willing to take the baton or accept the baton at just the right time. And we use the analogy of runners in a relay race. And we saw how in a relay race as opposed to an individual race. One competes against others, but you're also cooperating with team members, right? Each team member has an individual leg of the race to run, but also runs cooperatively with other team members, all working together to complete the race and win the prize. So this morning, Paul says, run to win the race. And the question is, are we running? Are we running to win the race? Are we running our leg of the race? And are we cooperating? Are we doing the things we're called to as elders, as younger ones? Are we competing in it? You're in a contest whether you realize it or not. You're competing. You're competing. You may not realize it. You may not be running. We may get tired. We may get weary. But we're supposed to be running in a race. He says, don't start running haphazardly. We have to be willing to share the load, to carry the burden. You see, in a team sport like a relay race, there's running involved, but there's choreography involved. There's timing involved. There's communication involved. There's a shared burden, a baton that must be passed, and it's going to take all of us working together. And it's kind of cool how after Peter gives this exhortation to the older ones and then to the younger ones, he says, now all of you, there's some things that I want you to know and that you need to do here. And so this morning, we're going to look at his exhortation to all of us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and starting in verse 5. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, all of you, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Firstly, Peter says, all of you. All of you. As a recovering fisherman who wasn't so good at it, but now as an elder of the church and an apostle, he says, all of you. All of you. Here's three things I want you to do. I want you to clothe yourselves. I want you to humble yourselves. And here's how you do it. Casting. I want you to be casting all your care and all your anxiety on the Lord. Here's the three things that I want to say to everybody. Not one group in specific, but everybody working together. It's going to take all of you to do this. It's going to take all of you to win this race together. Clothe yourselves, humble yourselves, and casting. Be casting all your anxiety on the Lord. So let's take that first command. Clothe yourselves. It sounds simple enough, right? We all know how to clothe ourselves, right? We know how to get dressed in the morning, right? And it sounds simple enough, and we do, or at least I thought we did before I started digging into this word clothe. And this word clothe, I don't even know if I can pronounce the Greek word. It's called enkomboamai. I think that's it. Help me out with that, TK. Sound right? Sure. Yes. Amen. Then say amen, brother. There we go. This word enkomboamai means to knot, to band, or fasten two things together, to fasten or gird oneself, and the root word, en, means in, by, and with. So we hear it in English, we hear clothe yourself, you know, put on a pair of socks, pull a shirt over. But it's less about pulling up socks or pulling over a shirt, it's more like shoes that you would tie, right? Something that you're going to bind together. You're going to knot it, band it, fasten it. These two things together. Clothe yourself. It's more like the belt that you have to fasten. Fasten it to yourself so you don't get caught with your pants down, right? You're running the race, and yeah, we don't want to get caught with our pants down. He says, tie it on. Fasten it together. Bind it together. It's like the jacket that you zip up so it doesn't fly off and you're left exposed in the cold because you didn't fasten it on yourself. Clothe yourselves. He's trying to say, strap in for this one, folks. The thing that you're supposed to be knotted together with and fastened together with, there's a tendency for it to fly off while you're running down the track. There's a tendency for this thing called humility to just go by the wayside. He's like, no, fasten it to yourselves. Clothe yourselves in humility. Tie it together. So that you don't lose sight of it. It has a tendency to slip away if you don't fasten it on really well. So he says, fasten it together so that you don't slow down, so that you aren't disqualified in your leg of the race. And I think of St. Patrick and his famous prayer, the breastplate of St. Patrick. He says, I bind to myself today these things, faith in God, the virtue of the cross, the hope of resurrection. I bind it to myself, God's power to guide and uphold me. It's a little more than eating cookies and things, isn't it? And so St. Patrick was doing with those beliefs and postures exactly what Peter's exhorting us to do here. All of you, clothe yourselves, bind yourselves together, be bound together with this thing. And we get some insight into Peter's writing style here. He uses another word. It's the only place it's used in Scripture. It's the only place these words are put together in the compound way to make this statement. And he says, fasten yourself together in, by, and with what? Humility. Humility. What exactly is biblical humility? It's another compound word he uses that's only been seen a few places in Scripture. And the first part is tapenos. It means not rising far from the ground. To be brought low. This is what humility means. To be brought low. Phrein is the second part of the word. The center of the heart of something. It refers to the mind in terms of how you think. Paul says to the Corinthians, don't be children in your frame, in your way of thinking. And right here, Peter's saying, let this kind of thinking be absolutely fastened to you so that it doesn't slip off and leave you exposed at the wrong time. Because as surely as I cast aside or allow it to become loosened for me, this thing called humility, I'm going to be exposed out in the cold or in an embarrassing situation where I wished I had fastened it to myself. Peter says, fasten it to yourself and in the way that you think, in your frame, in your mind. He's saying, fasten yourself together with this thing in knots if you have to. Fasten to yourself together with what? From not rising far from the ground. From going lower. Don't let it depart from you. As soon as you do, you're going to be exposed. This isn't demeaning yourself or lacking the dignity befitting a child of God. Pastor Greg, you're famous for saying for years, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So it isn't demeaning yourself or looking down on yourself, but rather not seeing your God-given sonship or position as making you above anything. No, I've got to be strapped into this thing of thinking low down here, man. Not demeaning. No. This is what he's commanding us to do. You got to be clothed in this thing. Your thinking has to be, I'm not above anything. That's why he just said a verse before, don't lord it over them. You're not up here. No. You're not up there looking down. You're down here because you're clothing yourself in humility. Jesus was the Son of God. And he didn't view his position as something to be grasped or held on to. So instead, he took on the form of a servant. A low, humble servant. Jesus wasn't above anything. Washing feet. Suffering. Peter, seeing it firsthand, saw it firsthand. He was an eyewitness of these things. And he's saying, as an elder, I'm telling you, you've got to be fastened together with this thing called humility. You're not above anything. Jesus wasn't above anything. Strap into it. Clothe yourself in humility towards one another. Towards one another. Isn't it interesting that the clothing self in humility about which Peter speaks doesn't happen in a vacuum or by ourselves? It happens in the context of community. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. We can proclaim how humble we are all day long, for by ourselves, it's easy, right? Until we're tested in the crucible of community. You have no way of knowing if anyone is clothed in humility unless one is tested by community. The humility that we might think we have is tested in community. This should be our posture towards one another. How low can you go? How low can you go, not rising far above the ground? This is how I ought to perceive myself in my heart and mind. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. You know, and here's the thing is, I don't know about you, but I'm the one who dresses me in the morning. You know, when we're a kid, maybe our mom or dad dresses us or something. But I'm the one, you're the one who dresses you. It's up to you to clothe yourself, isn't it? It's up to you. Nobody else is going to do it. It's not going to happen by osmosis or something. You've got to clothe yourself in humility. And if you forget an article of clothing someday, don't worry, someone will let you know. Someone will let you know. It'll be really easy, and in that moment, you'll have a chance to clothe yourself in humility. I promise. I promise you. As a matter of fact, it happened to me this week. Happened to me this week. I'm like, coming to the office, working for an hour or two. I went to open my desk, and it's locked. It's locked. Oh, my desk is locked. Okay. Grab the key in the place where it always is. There's no key. Oh, my desk is locked. Man, who would take? So I go to get the other key to the cabinet. Ah, the key's not there. I'm like, this is great. Somebody's playing a prank on me. It's my son. It's somebody else. It's Eric. I don't know who it is. No, Eric's German. He doesn't laugh so much. He doesn't play too many tricks. Not too many tricks. As a matter of fact, I appealed to Eric. What happened? Is there something wrong? You know, my door had been adjusted and it didn't shut all the way. Did someone get in here? But we looked around. No one took anything. The keys are gone. My cabinet's locked. What's going on? I'm getting indignant. I can't believe. Don't they know that this was like, how could they do this? This is like wasting time. I just don't. I didn't stop. I didn't get low enough to think, maybe it was me. Maybe it wasn't somebody else. I was in my pride so quick to look outside instead of say, wait a second. I mean, I didn't remember the keys, and I started thinking, what, the keys, what? You know, I'm trying to break into the drawers and like, you know, what's going on? I remember somewhere in the back of my mind the day before something helping my daughter-in-law with the grandkids into the van, and I remembered a set of keys for like half a second in my pocket. I'm like, and there they were. So I said to Eric, stop the investigation. He was in there with a magnifying glass looking for fingerprints. I'm like, you know, and listen, it's good. You don't want the German investigating you. I'm telling you right now. He does a thorough job. He was looking, and by the end of it, I like had to eat crow. I'm like, oh, Eric, it just me, stupid. I just, you know, I thought in my, I don't know what I thought. Like, you know, Pastor Greg, we've gone through this over the years. Pastor Greg might forget something once in a while, and so I think, well, maybe Pastor Greg might forget it. Maybe Eric might. But and I'm like, oh, you know, maybe it comes with the job. Maybe it comes with the territory. Now I'm forgetting things. I don't know. I don't know where I put the keys. I can't remember. They say if you can't remember where your car it is anyway. Yeah, I don't know what they say. I can't remember what they say. See that? But I realized how much trouble would we save ourselves if we were clothed in humility? What if I were clothed in humility instead of clothed in anger or clothed in investigation or clothed in blaming others? What if I clothed myself in humility? Man, I could save myself a lot of trouble and not be exposed because I forgot to fasten it together. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. C.S. Lewis wrote, if anyone would like to acquire humility, I think I can tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. A biggish step, too. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you're not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. Pride causes me to be short and unkind with other people. Causes me to prioritize myself over the flock. Lord, forgive me of my pride. You know the amazing thing about going lower? You're about to find out, sweetie. It positions us to receive grace. Going lower positions us to receive grace. When we see ourselves as higher than, we position ourselves to be resisted by God. Opposed by God. But when we go lower, we clothe ourselves in humility. We're positioned to receive His grace, His divine enablement. That's what grace is. So you can be resisted by the Almighty or you can be graced by the Almighty, and the choice is up to you. You get to decide which one it's going to be. How in the world is it even possible to care for one another, to sacrifice for one another, to do it voluntarily, to pass the baton, to share the burden? It's only going to be possible if we position ourselves to receive the grace to do it. Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
It's only going to be possible to do all the stuff that elders and younger ones are supposed to do, to care for one another voluntarily and sacrificially, if we position ourselves to receive the grace that it's going to take to do all those things. We need a baptism in humility, or it's never going to work. We need a baptism in humility, or we're just going to keep doing the same things. The baton won't get passed, or the timing will be off. So he says, clothe yourselves in humility towards one another, because God gives grace to the humble. He resists you if you're proud. That means God positions himself. He stations himself anti the proud. He stations himself. Listen, if God is stationing himself against me, guess who's going to win that one? It's not going to be me. So what is my pride going to accomplish? It's going to leave me exposed, positioned against God, working against him. How in the world am I going to serve and care for the flock voluntarily unless I go lower in my thinking about myself, and unless I fasten that way of thinking to me so that I don't get left out in the cold? So he tells us to clothe ourselves. Then he says to all, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we got to pay attention to what's being repeated. He says, clothe yourselves in humility. Then he says, humble yourselves. He tells us again. Here it is. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Our posture towards others is clothed in humility, and our posture towards God is to humble ourselves. It's up to us to humble ourselves, and it's up to God to exalt us at the right time. It's up to him. It's up to him. When I exalt myself, I'm not in a position to receive his divine enablement to do what he's asking me to do. So it's my job to humble myself. Psalm 75 says, promotion comes not from the east or west, but from God. Not from myself, but from the Lord. Humble yourself so that God can exalt you at the proper time. That word there is kairos, means the right time, the appointed time. There's a set time. There's a perfect opportunity. There's a limited period of time. It's kind of like passing that baton, isn't it? It's supposed to happen at a kairos, at a specific time. And if you miss the timing there, it doesn't work. And if I'm not clothed in humility, if I'm not willing to wait as a younger one for that baton, if I take off too soon, I miss the time. I miss the time. He says there's a time where you're going to be exalted, and it's going to be up to God to do it at a specific time. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about the timing. I don't have to worry about me being exalted. I just need to be concerned with humbling myself before God and being clothed in humility towards one another. And then he says, cast all your cares, cast all your anxiety. Here's how you do it. Casting your care upon the Lord, your anxiety upon the Lord. The word casting means to unburden yourself, to throw it off. Which cares, which anxieties, which ones? All of them. All of them. I think we get in a conversation with God sometimes and say, you know what, God, I'll take this one, you take that one. I'll hang on to this one. I'll keep worrying about this. I'm going to fix this one myself. God, you take care of that one. I don't think I can do this, but this one I'm just going to hang on to right here. And so we barter, or we think that, you know, we can cast some of our cares, or one of them, or two of them, or none of them. I think we can float through life and not realize, man, I'm taking all these cares on myself, thinking I'm going to resolve all these things. I'm going to fix everything in my own strength or my own effort. If I just put in a little more time, if I just stay up a little bit later, if I come in a little bit earlier, I can get everything done. I can take care of everything. He says, no, as you're doing this, as you're clothing yourself in humility and being bound together with this thing in your posture towards your brother in community and humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, you've got to be casting your care upon the Lord. And I love that he says it in the present tense. That word casting. It's like seeking, asking, knocking, keep knocking. The one who knocks. To everyone who knocks, it means to keep on knocking. In the present tense. Everyone who knocks, the door, listen, eventually somebody's going to open that door. Just because of your persistence, he tells the parable in Luke 18, right? He says, casting, keep on casting. Well, I've done that before and it only worked for so long. It stopped working because you stopped casting. Keep casting all your care, all your anxiety on the Lord. Lord, here are all my cares. I'm sending it your way. It's all yours. And then keep on doing it. Do it again and again and again. Jonah said this, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Think about Jonah. He had exalted himself above the sinful people of Nineveh. Go to those people. Those people can repent. Instead of clothing himself in humility. And in so doing, he became an enemy of God in the sense that God was resisting him. I wonder, do we forfeit God's grace when we hold on to things like anxiety? Do we forfeit grace, God's divine enablement, when we want to hold on to those things? There's good news. If you're holding on to fear today, guess what? You can humble yourself and let go of anxieties today. You can be free from it today. All it takes is responding to him, being clothed in humility and saying, Lord, this is yours. I want you to take all of it. I don't want to hang on to any of this stuff myself. Keep on casting all your care and anxiety upon him. Position yourself to receive his grace. Why would he give grace? Because he cares. Because he cares for you. You didn't forget that God cares about you, did you? He cares for you. In the loneliness and challenge of the dark hour, did you ever question if God cared for you? He cares for you. King David did in a moment. In Psalm 142, he said, there's no one who cares for my soul in a moment of despair. It can happen to the best of us. Peter's saying, let me tell all of you, he cares for you. Jesus said, two sparrows are sold for a cent, yet not one of them falls to the ground without the Father's notice. You are worth more, Jesus says. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. God says of his people, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. He cares for you. And because he cares for you, you're free to care for others. And because he cares for you, you can cast all your care and anxiety on him. Because he cares for us, when we position ourselves to receive his grace, he's going to give us grace. God gives grace to those who are down here, clothing themselves in humility. So he says to all of us, clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Go lower. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll lift you up at just the right time. How? Casting continuously. Keep on casting all your care, not some of it. Keep on casting all of it on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. And each of these commands is up to you to do. Humility isn't a spiritual gift. Humility doesn't, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is humility? Nope. Humility is a choice that we get to make. It's something that you get to do, that you have to do. Nobody else is going to dress you in the morning. You got to clothe yourself in humility. You humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You have to be the one casting your care. You can't be some cheerleader on a Sunday morning saying, come on, guys. That's cool. Encouragement, that's awesome. Terrific. Admonish one another, encourage one another, spur one another on to love and good works. But you've got to clothe yourself, and you've got to be casting your anxiety upon the Lord. Nobody else can do it for you. You know, I'm not necessarily big on altar calls, not because they don't have value, but I think we can just kind of get in the rut of doing things. Maybe you could help me out. Anything can become a tradition that we just kind of default to, and it ends up losing its value or its meaning. But I love the concept of an altar. I love the concept of a time and a spot and a place and a thing that we offer to the Lord. And I don't know if it is, I don't know where this word from the scripture hits you or hits anybody in particular today. Maybe some of you need to just cast your anxiety on the Lord. We all need, he says this is for all of you, so I guess we all do. All of you, from the oldest to the youngest. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another in community. Humble yourselves under God's hand. All of you, as you do it, casting your care on the Lord. Maybe we could just, would you do that with me now just for a minute? Just close your eyes. Don't worry about anything else around us. Just in this moment, let's just take a minute between you and the Lord. In the safety of community and in the safety of God's presence, He cares for you. Let's take a minute to humble ourselves before the Lord, to cast your care and anxiety on Him. It might take some humility for some of us to admit that we can't do it, and so we've got to lay that down, that anxiety down before the Lord. Just take a minute to do that now. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. Here we are, Lord. We're your people. It's your church, Jesus, that you're building. Lord, it's your community. Lord, it's your family. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you clothed yourself in humility, took on the form of a servant. Thank you, Jesus, that there was nothing that was above you or above your willingness to do in obedience to the Father. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, may we be those who position ourselves to receive your divine enablement. Thank you, Lord, that you give grace to the humble. Lord, I don't want to be resisted by you. May we not be setting ourselves in a position where you'd station yourself against us. Lord, may we know your grace as we clothe ourselves in humility towards one another, thank you, Lord, that you know the proper time. You know the right time. Lord, I pray we'd relinquish any expectation about time and just trust you for the proper time. That we would humble ourselves, that we would run our leg of the race, and as we do, just cast our care on you and keep casting and keep casting. Thank you, Lord, for peace and for grace and for joy, Lord, as we cast all our anxiety on you. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us.